Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we help you think smarter, act smarter, and just be smarter in general. My name is Leslie Wolf. I'm CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia, and we have an interesting show tonight. We're going to cover a range of areas. One, we're going to figure out, are you a smart or a dumb boss? You can think about what that's going to be about. And we're going to introduce a couple of things related to what the whole premise of the show is, and that is to get you to think more innovatively, make you look, take time to sit back and think about things that impact your business, whether you have 100 employees or you are self-employed. There are so many things we tend to be reactive rather than proactive. And the purpose of this show is to try and help you be more proactive. But let's talk about a couple of things related to the show. One of the things that you should be aware of is our four LinkedIn groups. They're there for you to start discussions, participate in discussions, learn from, teach, everything in between. The idea here is we interact, we help each other. Those four groups are Smart Marketing for Small Business, the same name as the radio show, Celebrities for Marketing, if you're interested in learning how to utilize celebrities, Creative Thinkers Forum. The idea is to learn how to think outside the box, think creatively, and you don't have to be a creative genius to think creatively. There are a lot of tips and things that we can teach you, lessons that you'll learn in this show and past shows and future shows. And then Fearless Marketers. And Fearless Marketers are those who don't want to be mimic marketers, for those who want to lead rather than follow. And unfortunately, and I don't mean to insult the audience, but unfortunately, a few of you seem to want to do that. But when you do, you become part of the Fearless Marketer. So you go to LinkedIn.com and check into any four of those groups. In addition, in fact, we have a blog, SmartMarketingMoves.com, that we encourage you to participate in. And if you have ideas and suggestions that you would like to tell us about, email us at marketing.smartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly at AOL.com. We want to hear from you. And if you think you have something that can inform and educate our audience, love to have you as a guest. So don't hesitate, you know, to reach out to us on that. So that's really the premise of this show. And we'll talk about some of the services that we offer in a few minutes. But I want to talk about something we're adding to the show. This is something actually based on a book that we have in front of publishers right now. But again, it's really on this basis that I've talked about before of forcing people to think. Those of you who have listened to the show in the past or have seen some of my writings know that I like to use quotations. I find quotations very effective in making a point. And I really think that quotations help one, you know, stimulate their thinking. So what I did is I took a concept, I took quotations, and every week we will have maybe two, one in the beginning of the show, and if we have time, one in the later part of the show. I take a quotation from an individual that I thought had a powerful statement, and then I interpret it. And the idea is, well, are we really understanding clearly what that quotation is about? Is there are there some other points to be made? And then what we are going to be doing, we don't have it up yet on the blog, but it's going to be a place where you would be able to come and give us your interpretation of a quotation that we have highlighted. So stay in touch, and we hopefully will get that going soon. But let me give you an example, all right? This is a quote from Lee Iacocca, a gentleman who ran Chrysler for so many years. He said, "Motivation is everything. You can do the work of two people, but you can't be two people. Instead, you have to inspire the next guy down the line and get him to inspire his people. And my interpretation of that is very simple. Motivation in business creates inspiration that generates perspiration from the efforts of those exposed to it, thus delivering positive results. Think about that. Anyway, let's move on to another aspect of the show. One of the things I do want to say about the show is we also, this is, shall we call it the advertising on the show? We offer some interesting things to our listeners if they want to take advantage of it. And they range from executive coaching, helping clients define and detail a marketing strategy, working with what we call creative tactical strategies. And we have a thing, many of our clients are basically work on project fee or retainer relationship, but we learned years ago that a lot of you don't want to get involved in ongoing financial commitment. So we created a thing called the Advisory Time Block Program. And this is a little thinking outside the box, thinking from the perspective of our audience. And the idea being is that you can buy blocks of time good for 12 months. That can be an hour, that can be 5 hours, can be whatever you want. And you can, in a sense, utilize it, use it with a question that you may have or something you want to discuss in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even 2 minute segments, whatever is easiest for you to ask and to get an answer. So you may go up to our corporate site, smartmarketinggroup.com, look under advisory services, and look at our time block program. It is something I think you might find of interest. As you know, our main thrust is marketing. And marketing, from my perspective, is the lifeblood of every business. You know, as I've said in the past, I meet former business executives who felt that marketing didn't need to spend much time and effort in their marketing. And I say former because now he's got all the time in the world. So marketing is the process of acquiring customers and keeping them. That's it. No great mystery. Now, without customers, a business does not survive. Without happy, satisfied customers, a business does not grow. So then why are so many business executives so confused about marketing, about marketing their products and or services? Why do some in an industry succeed greatly and others barely exist at all? It is not the lack of capital. It is the failure of understanding what the various elements of the marketing aspect are and how they work together. It's the failure to examine all the, what I call, troublesome little things within their business that affect the effort to gain customers and retain them. Marketing really isn't that difficult. I know that we like to make it seem like it is, especially from the consultant's point of view. But marketing need not be expensive, need not be difficult. Marketing produces a better bottom line. It does require discipline, and good marketing requires an open-minded attitude and a willingness to think outside the box. And that key of outside the box, very popular phrase, but sometimes I think it's above the rut might be a better description because so many people are in a rut and following what others do. You know, smart business executives will always ask themselves questions, constantly challenging their own thinking. It's important to do that. You only have to look at some of the major businesses that have gone out of business in the last year or so because they didn't change their business model. They didn't pay attention to what was going on in the marketplace. They didn't challenge their thinking. They didn't ask the questions that opened their minds about how they operate and what they should be doing. You know, we put clients through a questioning process known as a marketing needs analysis, you know, so they can get a clearer understanding of the marketing strengths and weaknesses of their company. Then we help them build on their strengths and strengthen their weaknesses. So, I mean, you know, there are questions that I find that are within the analysis that every business leader should be asking. So let's take a look at a couple of those questions. For example, how easy or difficult are you to do business with? Think about that. Have you ever surveyed your customer base and asked them how to rate your quality of service? Think not only as the businessman you are, but as the customer you are. You know, have you been in situations that were not user-friendly? You know, have you taken a look at what is the percentage of your customer turnover? Have you ever examined closely why a customer leaves you? Think about it. Do you just take it for granted, oh, well, I'll replace them? Or do you do an analysis of it? You know, one of the things is, what do your employees think of management? And even if you're a one-person business, the people you interact with, what do they think of you? How do they think of you? Because, you know, how does that affect the way your business runs? You know, it's relationships are key. Not just customer relationships, vendor relationships. Any relationship that has interaction, you know, related to your business. Have you taken a good look at the market you're in for your product and service? How big is it? Do you have any idea? Are you getting your fair share? And if not, why not? Are you aware of all the factors affecting your market? I mean, have you taken a look at how you can use these to your advantage? Now, there's a wonderful saying, an optimist sees opportunity in every calamity. A pessimist sees calamity in every opportunity. Winston Churchill said that. But part of the problem is that people don't keep their minds open. They don't see what they could do to grow their business by being a little different, a little more attentive to an understanding of the needs of their customer. You know, what do you think is your most important business asset? And why do you think it is? And how can it benefit your marketing efforts? What is your competition doing to build market share? Have you thought how you can outsmart, outflank, and outmaneuver them without outspending them? This is thinking. This is taking the time to be proactive, not reactive. Now, what's your competitive edge in the marketplace? Can you make it proprietary, thus making it difficult to duplicate? How would you describe the profile of your customer? Is this the best profile for the growth of your business? Have you taken a good hard look at that customer and your customer base? You know, where is your business coming from? Are you overlooking other areas of potential revenue? What research has been done relating to the potential and other markets that are out there? Have you been asking the right questions? Because part of the key to thinking, and to thinking innovatively and thinking with a fresh perspective, is asking those questions and learning how to ask them. And, of course, the important thing is learning to shut up and listen to the answers. You know, what is your corporate philosophy towards your customer? Is it something that they really understand? Do your employees understand it? And how much of your marketing budget is for lead generation? Is it getting the results that you need? How much of your business market do you want in the next 3 years? Are your plans optimistic, realistic, or more not yet defined? Marketing is not an optional choice if you're planning to grow your business. Now, the key to it is you need to look at all of the dots and connect them so that you can maximize the results that you get. It is key. You know, and how do you learn to do some of these things? Well, we offer a couple of services that can be of help to you in addition to our advisory services. We can develop webinars for you, and we can develop if we know you're interested in webinars, let us know, and when we have them, we can invite you to them. We put on workshops with different corporate sponsors who are targeting the small business market. And if you have small businesses as your customer base, you might want to check with us on our Smart Marketing for Small Business workshops. I write articles on marketing that are, again, designed to be educational. Right now, I write one for the Philadelphia Business Journal, but I include some of these in our blogs. And there's just a lot of things that we can do. In fact, one of the things in particular is coming into your offices and interacting with you and your staff to help you think creatively, efficiently, in ways that you can truly outsmart your competition without outspending them. All right. I want to run something by you. This is actually the basis of an article I am writing. But it's something that I think is extremely important if you are building a business. If you are running a business that has employees, if you are hoping to run a business one day where you may have multiple employees, you need to know the answer to this question. Are you a smart-thinking CEO or a dumb one? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you a smart thinker or are you a dumb one? I put together a little bit of a questionnaire. Go get a notepad or an iPad, and you may want to take down some of these questions because they would be helpful to you in trying to figure out how effective you are as a management executive, or how effective you can become if you pay attention to what we're going to talk about. All right. Malcolm Forbes once said, an inadequate chief executive officer's time at the top is always too long, no matter how short. Think about that. In today's economy, the answer to that will interest a lot of people. Shareholders, customers, employees, vendors, and much more. The answer will impact or infect every aspect of your business and the public's perspective of you and your business. Do you really know the answer about are you smart or dumb? Can you prove it? All right, this questionnaire I'm going to run you by will help you provide you with the answer. You can keep this to yourself. You don't have to share the answers with anybody. It's for your personal edification. A key result of doing this questionnaire is that you will have a better perspective of how you are viewed by those individuals who interact with you and your company. Perhaps you don't really care how you or your company are perceived. And if that's true, there's no reason to take this exercise any further because you've already proven you're not only dumb but stupid as well and probably in a serious denial state of mind. But if you're not scared of being totally honest with yourself and seeing the truth, let's get started. All right, because, you know, the most valued assets a company has are its employees. How you utilize these assets to the maximum potential is a measurement of your skills as a manager. So let's ask a question. How do you feel your employees perceive you? And this could also be your vendors as well, and in some cases, even your customers. But we'll stick for the moment with employees. How do your employees perceive you? Would you say you are, first, Lord of the Ivory Tower? In other words, difficult to reach out to. Or are you an accessible ACE? ACE, standing for a caring executive. You're open to new ideas and suggestions. Or are you something that is too often found, an emperor who has a kill-the-messenger mentality, refusing to hear about problems or welcome positive criticism. What are you? Lord of the house? Emperor? Or a caring executive? As I said, it's not just employees that are impacted by this, but vendors, customers, it's your attitude. It's a wonderful saying, you know, the altitude that you reach is affected by the attitude you have. And that is extremely important in this particular situation. All right, let's take another question. How would your employees rate your company as a place to work? Would it be top drawer to job? You have to be kidding me. What is it? Top drawer? Not bad? Okay, it's a job. You have to be kidding me. How they view that impacts your business. And that is something that you need to be thinking about all the time. Because perception is, to most people, reality. How you are perceived has a direct effect on the degree of success of your organization. You know, as the famous management consultant Peter Drucker said, so much of what we call management consists of making it difficult for people to work. Think about that. Are you someone who makes things difficult, or are you someone who makes things easy? How would you describe your management style? Would it be feudal, your dictate directions and agenda, my way or the highway mentality? Or are you a benevolent dictator? Treat people kindly, but your decision-making is done with little input from others. Or are you a coach? Where you build a team atmosphere and encourage participation. There is a quote, and you know I love quotes, a gentleman named Phil Condon, who had been chairman and CEO of Boeing, that I think caught the message very clear from a coaching mentality. He said, none of us are as smart as all of us. And think about that. The more input you get, the better it is. And, you know, the joint venture, the joint activity, if you have the right atmosphere, you know, within your organization. And again, I said employees, vendors, customers, where people can be heard, where they know that they're appreciated, their thoughts are open, and, you know, they're excited to be able to contribute to you. You have to develop that kind of atmosphere. All right. Let's look at how easy is it for different departments to communicate with each other in order to have maximum efficiency and effectiveness. If you're a little larger company and you have multiple departments, are they very easy to get along with? Somewhat easy to communicate with each other? Difficult? to communicate with each other? Or are you like too many managers? You don't want to know. You simply don't want to know because you know it's a problem. And how would your management team describe you? And again, I talk about vendors and customers as well as employees. But in this case, let's assume you have a management team. Do they look at you as reserved, somewhat reticent, personable, or you're the great communicator? You know, marketing, as I said, is the lifeblood of any business, and how well you do, you know, depends on how, let me rephrase that. It is how well you do it is the level of success that you're going to have. Now, there's a quote that I use all the time. Marketing is all the auxiliary big things and all the troublesome little things that must be done in the entire corporate organization to achieve the purpose of attracting and holding a customer. Theodore Levitt, from his book Marketing for Growth, published in 1969, he was the Harvard Business School guru of marketing, and that definition still sticks today. All right, you're running a business. You may, as I said, have 100 employees. You may be a single employee. But you need to know a lot. So how would you rate your knowledge of the following areas, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best? And since you're scoring yourself, I'm never going to see it. Be honest with yourself. What's your knowledge of advertising? Customer retention? Employee motivation? The internet, which is playing such an important role today. As we said, the overall aspect of marketing. Merchandising. New business development. Public relations. Product knowledge. Sales promotion, social media, trade shows. You know, what we're really talking about here is you need to have knowledge in a lot of areas if you're running a business, and in particular if you're running the area of marketing, and what we call integrated marketing strategy. Imagine you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle or a mosaic or a tapestry, and all the pieces have to come together in order to make the picture you want it to make. So you need to, you know, you need to look at how you think. And that's really been the premise of this show tonight, on how do you think. Are you a traditional thinker, a cautious thinker, an innovative thinker, or outside-the-box thinker? Now, there's a lot of other questions I'd like to put to you, but we don't have the time tonight. But you need to think about, you know, are you smart, or are you dumb? Because if your answers are not on target, you might want to rethink your attitude towards your employees. You know, as I talk about smart thoughts, I have some from some smart thinkers I'd like to run by you. Will Rogers said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. John Rockefeller said, good management consists in showing average people how to do the work of superior people. The leadership must be for the benefit of the followers, not for the enrichment of the leaders, said Robert Townsend. And a gentleman named George Ripley said, the executive's chief business is to organize, deputize, and supervise. So those are some things to stimulate your thinking. Another thing that I would like to throw at you, as we mentioned earlier, is this idea of taking quotations and translating them or interpreting them. And this is something that we hope to have up on our blog in a couple of weeks for you to think about. But, you know, a gentleman named Bo Bennett, I have no idea who Bo was, said, avoiding the phrase, I don't have time, will soon help you to realize that you do have the time needed for just about anything you want to accomplish in life. Translated, I interpret that as there are certain words and phrases that should not be part of your vocabulary, as they retard your growth. Think of which ones they are that you are using and banish them from your list. All right, I want to reiterate some of the things that we have out there to help you. Our LinkedIn, go up to our LinkedIn group, Smart Marketing for Small Business, Fearless Marketers, Creative Thinkers Forum, and Celebrities for Marketing. Our blog is smartmarketingmoves.com, and our email, we really do want to hear from you. Our email is marketingsmartly@aol.com. That's SMARTLY, marketingsmartly@aol.com. So again, my name is Leslie Wolf. I am CEO of the Smart Marketing Group of Philadelphia. I am available as an executive coach, a creative tactician, ways that I can help you in developing as a strategist your marketing efforts. Look forward to opportunities to speak to your employees or speak to groups on your behalf and giving you a sponsorship role. There are a lot of things that we can do that can be very effective in helping build your business, and it's all based on answering the WIFM question, W-I-I-F-M, what's in it for me? If we can do that from your perspective or from your customer's perspective, you will win more often than not. Thank you. Look forward to the next show.